We continue our study today in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. Jesus is building His church, Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. Will you stand with me in respect and reverence to the Word of God? Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. We're speaking of Peter and John here. And it's right after that they'd healed the lame man as they were entering the temple. In verse 2, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. The number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for the salvation that was bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary. And that salvation cannot be earned. And we certainly don't deserve it. But that we receive it as a gift from you. Father, your word tells us we must be born again. I pray for those in this service today who do not know you as their personal Savior. Who have not been born again, calling upon Jesus Christ and making Him the Lord of their life. I pray that today will be the day that they will turn to you for salvation. For truly, there is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. We rejoice in your goodness and we thank you for the privilege of looking into your word. Now, Lord, move freely among us. Convict of sin. Draw all men to you. For your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is building his church. That's what the book of Acts is all about. And today as we look into Acts chapter 4, the first thing we see is an attack from Satan. And to give you a little background, instead of just starting right in the middle, from last week, chapter 3, or if you go back and read chapter 3, you'll find that Peter and John were on their way to the temple in the hour of prayer, and they encountered a lame man who had been lame from his mother's womb, according to the Word of God. And this man, they would lay at the temple gates every day, and his job was to beg for money from people that would pass by. And so sure enough, Peter and John, on their way to the temple to pray, they encounter this lame man who reaches out to them and begs them for money. And you remember what Peter said. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but that which I have, I give to you. Rise up and walk. And what happened? The man rose up and walked, didn't he? As a matter of fact, it went even beyond that. He not only walked, he leaped and jumped and ran into the temple for the first time in his life. And what an outstanding miracle. Can you imagine if you had been Peter and John, if you had been involved in that miracle? Would you not have thought, that's right, my God did that. That's right. I saw my God as he gave that man's poor leg strength. That's my God I'm serving. That would have to go through my mind, you know? But as people saw that, they run to Peter and John and to find out what's going on. Of course, Peter and John take the next step. The reason for the entire miracle was so they could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they begin to tell people about Jesus. And the message was received. So much so that 5,000 people received Jesus Christ as their Lord, and that day became believers. Oh, I want to tell you something. If Victory ever comes to the day where this preacher sees 5,000 souls saved, y'all have to set on me. Because I will be like that layman. I'll be jumping and leaping and praising God. I don't know what that'd feel like, but I'd sure like to give her a try, wouldn't you? Oh my goodness, at a high point these two guys must have been in their life and in their ministry as they've seen God work this miraculous, this event and this lame man walk and people just coming in droves to believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, but at that time, old Satan raises his ugly head and tries to put a stop to it. We read in the text, it says the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, were greatly disturbed that they taught the resurrection from the dead. They didn't like Peter and John because they were teaching Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ as resurrection from the resurrection from the dead as Jesus being the first fruits. You know, we know the scripture tells us because he lives, we'll live too. Those Sadducees, they didn't believe in life after death. Never did get those guys. Never did understand their mentality. They didn't believe. They believed that when you died, you just died. It was over. Let me tell you, if I thought that was all there was, I wouldn't be religious. You know? I mean, what's the point? But I know there is life after death through Jesus Christ our Lord. And glory to God, this life is not all there is. There are better things waiting for those who've trusted in Jesus Christ. But these Sadducees and leaders of the temple, they didn't believe that. And it just stirred them tremendously that they're preaching a resurrected Jesus Christ. And so what do? They lay hands on them. And they throw them in jail. And they spend the night in jail. You see, most people don't realize that when God is blessing, Satan's going to send some of his minions to disrupt the progress in the kingdom of God. It's going to happen every time. So you might as well buckle up and get ready for it. And you know what else? Who are Satan's minions? They're people. Satan uses people. Just like he used these religious people to arrest Peter and John to try to curb their enthusiasm about Jesus Christ, he'll use people to curb our enthusiasm about Jesus Christ. You know? People who sometimes it'll be people in the church. Did you know church people can be ugly? I know it's unbelievable. But I'll just be honest with you. I've been in church for a long time. And I've seen some pretty ugly people in church. And I'm not talking about the way they look. I'm talking about the way they act, right? Boy, when Satan starts blessing, those ugly people will sure raise up and start to howl and do everything they can do to put a stop to it. But I want to tell you, if that ever happens to you, the first thing you need to realize, you're not fighting people, you're fighting the devil. They belong to him. They're being used by him. Not only is it people inside the church, it's people outside the church. Boy, do you ever feel like we're losing out there in the world? Oh, you know, the battle for the casinos go on, and it has gone on in Pope County. And boy, there's been a couple of times I thought, what's the use? No. But then I back up and I say, okay, there is a point to it all. My God is still my God. He's still on his throne, and we may lose court battles and all that, but I'll tell you what, we know how it's going to end. Yeah. What I want you to understand
is that attacks will come, and they usually come when you're on the mountaintop. Satan will do his very best to knock you off the mountain. And what happens when you fall? Buddy, it hurts. The two times this last year, I'm not even going to tell you. Yes, I will. Twice this year, I have fallen. I've never fallen in my life. When you fall, you think, first thing you do is jump up, look around, make sure nobody saw it, right? One of their silly falls, you know, like missing steps. But there was a day when I could miss a step and I would still land on my feet. I miss a step now, buddy. Me and that carpet's going to have a conversation. Makes me feel old. That's why I wasn't going to take it. But you know what? The fall hurts. That's my point. After I got up and I looked around, made sure nobody was there, I think, oh man, all that hurt. You know? But I wasn't going to tell anybody. There was one day I fell at the house. And I didn't tell Beth till a day later because I knew, you know. She would ride me about it. Yeah, she would. My point is this. If you're a child of God, and listen to me very good. If you're a child of God, Satan would love nothing better than to knock you down and kick you while you're there. Okay? I mean, it's a fact of life. We have an enemy. That's why it says 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants you. And if you start doing things for the kingdom of God, he's coming. When this church starts doing well, he's coming. But see, we've got to understand and we've got to be ready when he comes. Ready to fight the battle. Ready to take a stand. And that's what these guys do. They take a stand after they put him in jail. The next morning, they bring them out. And I love the atmosphere in which they bring them out. This is the important people, the Sanhedrin, if you will, the Sadducees, the chiefs of the temple. And they're all in a group. And they bring Peter and John out. And they set them, it says, in the midst of them. Literally, they set them in the middle. They're surrounded by the enemy. The reason they did that is to intimidate them. And they ask them the question, by what name have you done this? In verse 7. And I love Peter's response, you know. And just imagine, if you will, people who do not like you. You know, you don't have to look at people very long before you can realize whether they like you or not, right? It's in their eyes. When it's that means they don't like you. When they do this number, you know, they like you, right? They're surrounded by these people that it's obvious we don't like you and we want to destroy you. And we want to stamp out this kingdom of God, this Jesus that you're preaching. But I love Peter's answer when they ask him, by what name have you done this? Verse 8 says, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 10, let it be known to you that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you whole. If there was one answer that was the wrong answer for Peter to give at that time, that was it. Peter said, I don't care what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. This man is whole because of Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Then he goes on a step farther, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. You understand? This is Peter. He's sitting in the middle of the religious group that's supposed to be responsible to teach people and tell people how to get to heaven and tell people how to have a relationship with God. And they're doing it all wrong. And Peter says, here, there's one way and it's not yours. Peter was closed-minded, don't you think? He would not have been considered politically correct. in that day. But I tell you all this to get you here. You got to be willing to take a stand. To stand up and be counted. Never fold under pressure. That, because the world, the society that we live in today, that's the idea. That's why Christians are so publicly attacked today. It's to apply pressure. Don't you say anything publicly about your God. Don't you take a stand against sexual immorality. Don't you preach those things which would identify the sin of the world. Don't you do that. You keep your religion to yourself. Well, no, sir. That's not who we are. Amen. Let us take our stand. And I'm not talking about being offensive. I'm not talking about waving our fist in the face of people. But when the opportunity comes up and the pressure is being felt, never stop and never allow yourself not to take advantage of the opportunity and share Jesus Christ. Okay? We're in a war. It's a spiritual war. That's why we're told in the book of Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. And please understand, when I talk about this war, I'm not talking about fighting people, literally, physically. I'm talking about fighting Satan spiritually. Okay? You know what we need in our schools today? We need teenagers who will take a stand and say, no, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I want the world to know it. You know? We need teens like that. Where are we going to get them? We're going to have to teach. They're going to have to see it in mom and dad. Okay? Mom and dad's going to have to set that example. See, that's what we don't understand. If you want your children to make the right choices, you're going to have to make the right choices yourself. Because if it's not real in the life of mom and dad, it's not going to be real in the life of your children. Don't collapse, kids, college students, adults. Stand our ground. When we're surrounded by the enemy and we're feeling the pressure to crumble, take your stand. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, you're one of those Bible thumpers. I sure am. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Don't cave in. But don't expect when you take your stand that it'll be over. You see, the next thing they do, they begin to threaten. It says, I love verse 13 through about 20. Verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they marveled and they realized. Here's one of the best lines in this whole chapter. They realized that they had been with Jesus. I want to tell you, these men are described here as uneducated, untrained men. I want you to know there were nothing special about these guys. They had no seminary training. They had no formal education. These were just fishermen. But in verse 13 where it says they realized that they had been with Jesus, if you look at the translation in the Greek, it's written in a manner which is imperfect tense, which means you can't translate it in English, okay, because there's no words to match. But what it literally means is that they had been with Jesus and they are now with Jesus. Make sense? Not only had they been with Him, but they were now with Him in the here and now. And so they decided, so that it spread no further, let us threaten them and command them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And I love Peter's answer. Okay, guys, we know your story. We know what you're speaking. We know what you're preaching. Now we're going to tell you what you're going to do. Can you imagine? This is what they're telling them. We're going to tell you what you're going to do. You're not going to preach and teach in the name of Jesus anymore. You know, sometimes I kind of think, having the freedom that we have today to preach and teach in the name of Jesus, we get kind of lax. You let somebody point their finger at us and say, you can't speak the name of Jesus publicly anymore. What are you going to do? I'm going to show you. I'm going to go out here on the street corner and I'm going to declare Jesus everywhere I go, aren't you? Well, that's the mentality here. So that it spread no further, let us threaten them and command them not to speak and teach in the name of Jesus. Peter says, well, I'll tell you what. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Peter says, okay, I've got a choice. I'm going to listen to you or I'm going to listen to God. And it's implied here, I'm not going to listen to you. You see the strength, the stand there? Here's what I want you to get and take away from this message. Make up your mind whose side you're on. Okay? You can't straddle the fence. It does not work. You've got to decide who and what you are right here and right now. And you decide that before you get into the heat of battle. Okay? Because if you wait till you get into the heat of battle, I promise you, when the pressure's on, you're going to fold like a cheap lawn chair. You know? You've got to decide who you are right here and right now. College students, make up your mind before you're in the classroom and you're challenged by an instructor who thinks it's his job to strip you of your faith. And I love our school. I love our college. It is a wonderful college. But there's a couple over there who thinks it's their mission in life to remove faith from the college student. Make up your mind now. Make up your mind now. High school students, make up your mind now before you find yourself in an ungodly situation that where you're feeling pressured to cave in to the popularity of the crowd and do like everybody else is doing. No, establish who you are in Jesus Christ right now so that when that time comes, you say no. And they may look at you. I don't know what to say anymore. I'm an old guy, right? In my day, they said, oh, you're a mama's boy. And you look at him and say, I'm not a mama's boy. I'm a God's boy. A child of the living God. And that's not who I am. You see, you've got to decide. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Will it cost? Yes. It may cost you friends. It may cost you a job. It may cost you popularity. But beloved, make up your mind, because I promise you will not pay anything on this earth that God will not reward you 10,000 times over through eternity. Amen. God will make it worth your while. Stand. Stand up. Be who you are in Jesus Christ. And when it gets tough, and it will get tough, I don't care who you are, it will get tough. You have a secret weapon. A weapon that they don't know about. These guys, I want to go back and I want to read. Verse 27 and through about 29. No, 27 through 30. These guys, they're threatened. They say, okay, you preach any more in the name of Jesus, you hadn't seen anything yet, we're going to get really hard on you. So they go, and you know what they do? They get on their knees. You want to face opposition. You want to deal with the enemy. The only way to deal with Satan is get on your knees and petition the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they did. It says, for truly against your holy servants, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and the signs and wonders
may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you'll never guess what happened next. It says, and they spoke the word of God with all boldness. Listen. When we're under attack, when Satan is shooting his fiery darts, you have a weapon that'll carry you through. That weapon is communion and fellowship with Almighty God Himself. Okay? You have a weapon that they can't, that Satan himself cannot stop. Just because you pray, God may not take away the circumstance. He may not make you the victorious hero coming out the other side. But I want to tell you what He will. He will enable you to face whatever pressure and persecution that you face to His glory. You know that? He will. And that's what He done here. And they prayed. And if you'll notice, they didn't pray, oh Lord, get us out of this. Oh please, we don't want to suffer anymore. They didn't. What did they pray? They prayed, Lord, empower Your servants to speak boldly the Word of God. Nowhere did they mention, oh, they're going to put us in jail again, God. They didn't. You see, they realized it wasn't about them. And yes, they realized it could be hard, but it was okay if it was hard, as long as the kingdom of God continued to be built and to grow and to prosper. It was worth it. You see, what we do is we get to looking at ourselves sometimes a little too much. Say, Lord, I don't like it here. You ever pray that? Lord, get me out of this. Did you ever do that? Lord, I don't like it here. Get me out. Get me out now. Well, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we're where we are for a reason. Well, let me take that back. We're always where we are for a reason. The question is, how are you going to respond with where you are? You have one or two choices: to the glory of God, or you can let Satan win. I don't want to let Satan win anything, because I have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you, I'm going to share with you something that happened to me last week. Last week was not a good week for me. And I'm not whining, okay? It just wasn't a good week. It seemed like everywhere I turned, there was a conflict, there was a problem, there was an issue. And about the middle of the week, I was getting kind of downhearted. Now, I don't know if I've ever confessed to y'all about getting downhearted or not, but I was. And I was at home. And Beth had gone to bed, and I was sitting on the couch. And have you ever prayed with the wrong attitude? I did. I literally, sitting on the couch, and I literally told God, what's the point? Lord, it's not doing any good. What's the point? I'm tired. And I feel very guilty telling y'all this, okay? Every once in a while, we preachers get this way. Right? Just like y'all do, right? But I was sitting there wallowing in self-pity. And I thought, I'm sure there's something in the Bible that would address how I'm feeling right now. But I really don't know where it is. And I know you're taken back. You mean the preacher didn't know where to go? I didn't. Because all I could see was me. And I was sitting there thinking, Lord, I've had enough.
And I wasn't going to quit or resign the church. It was just one of those moments. And I have never heard God speak in an audible voice. But this is as close as it ever came. The Holy Spirit of God spoke within me. Psalms 43. Psalms 43. And the first thought is, Psalms 43, where did that come from? What's in Psalms 43? I have no idea. What am I supposed to, you know? And it was like, it repeated two or three times, and I'm like, okay, get out the Bible. Psalms 43. And I began to read. I start in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." And I'm thinking, okay, I see it. "For you, O God," verse 2, "for you, O God of my strength, why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of oppression of the enemy?" Okay, Lord, I can see the similarity here. "Oh, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them, your light and your truth, lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." And at that point I'm like, okay. But it did nothing for me until I got to verse 5. And verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." And I melted. And I was like, oh Lord, why are you cast down on myself? That's me. And why are you disquieted within me? That's me. Hope in God. I'm the guy that everybody's supposed to count on, that's going to, you know, just know that this guy's always hoping in God. Well, at that point I wasn't, but God took me very directly to this scripture and it made me say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I read it two or three times, and the more that I read it, I continued to read it, the more I was lifted up. The better. The more I was encouraged. And after about five times, I realized, Lord, you took me here because this is exactly what I needed to hear in a difficult time. And I thought, glory to God. And you know what? God didn't change anything. He did not change the circumstance. He did not change the things that were bothering me. He didn't change any of that. What He did was He took me to a place to give me strength to continue on through what I needed to go through. Okay. I didn't know what Psalms 43 said. Like I said, it was a God thing. You said, oh, Brother Doug, that was a coincidence. Really? There are 66 books in the Bible. Out of those books, those books are divided to 1,189 chapters. So, for me to sit in my chair and say, Lord, I'm ready to give up. And Psalms 43 to come into my heart is like unreal. Okay? It was a God thing. 1,189 chapters are divided into 31,935 verses. And God carried me to the exact place, Psalms 43, verse 5, that I needed at that point in my life. What's my point? As children of God, we're not alone. And no matter how discouraged we become, and no matter how much pressure we're feeling, no matter what we're going through, you understand that if you are a child of God, your Lord and Savior is there with you. And He will provide what you need to give Him the glory of whatever that circumstance may be. Carried me through. Now today, my challenge to you is this. Folks, I know sometimes it's tough. And please don't misinterpret, that what I shared with you is, oh, Brother Doug, getting discouraged. No. As a matter of fact, there would be nothing you could have done at where I was last week. All right? But what I want you to see is, God has not abandoned you. He will never abandon you. And when you're taking your stand, and when it's tough, and you think, I don't know where to turn, turn to your knees and cry out to God, our strength. And He will carry you. He may not fix it. He may not, He may not take any of it away, but I promise you, He'll give you the strength to endure it for His glory. And that's why you're going through it, for His glory. My friends, I don't know where you are today. I don't have a clue. You may be where I was. You may be the one that needed to hear, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? That may be where you are. If you are, hope in God. He's still God. You shall yet praise Him. He is the help of your countenance. He is your God. He's still on the throne. You may be here today, and you're on the mountaintop. You say, Brother Doug, life is good. Everything's going really well. And okay, praise the Lord. Enjoy it while you got it. Okay? Enjoy it while you got it. Because Satan will try to knock you off. And when he does, you be ready to stand, is the point of this message. When he knocks you down, don't you stay down. You get back up. You may be here today and you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friends, grab this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to die for your sins because payment had to be made for your sin. Brother Doug, I'm not a bad guy. You're probably not. But you're as bad as the rest of us. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. The only way to take care of that sin was by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, going to the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for you so that you could have eternal life. Are you a child of God? Have you called upon Him? If not, will you call upon Him today? Maybe you're here and you've never went public. As you know, you called upon Jesus and He saved you, but you never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. You come. We're going to have a verse of invitation. We're going to invite you to come. And let's get that public declaration, that public identification of baptism scheduled so that everybody will know where you stand. Maybe you're here and you're in the battle. You're discouraged and you need one of those moments like I had last week where God speaks to you. A great place for God to speak is right here, the altar. Bring your burdens before the Lord. Bring your cares before the Lord. Your petitions before the Lord. Lay them at the feet of Jesus. You do this at this altar. Whatever your spiritual need is this morning, I just want you to understand Jesus is the answer. Okay? Jesus hasn't changed. God's still God. Will you let God have His way and live to His glory by taking your stand, your public stand this morning? Whatever that is, Whether church membership, salvation, baptism, rededication, will you take your stand today? Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Lord, sometimes it is hard, and we know that Satan attacks, and even, Lord, when we have all the right answers, we become discouraged. Oh, but we praise you that there is comfort and there is encouragement in you to take those stands that we need to take. Lord, I thank you for the strength that you give. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. And I thank you for this privilege of the invitation, the opportunity for us to respond to your leading. And now, Lord, I pray that the response would be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.